Kellyanne English, Marcus Pitt, JXT, all former guests on Wrestle Radio Australia, as well as the new MCW Intercommonwealth Champion, Dowie James. They have got some rad new shirts out, and again, they are all thanks to Wrestle Merch Printing. Now, if you are a wrestler based in Australia, a promotion, or even a pro wrestling podcaster, Wrestle Merch can help you out. They're based in Adelaide, South Australia, and they do a great job screen printing their tees one by one to make sure that you, the customer, have the absolute best quality out there. Now, for further information and a quote on the work that you need done, hit them up on Facebook. Just search Wrestle Merch Printing. Speak to Tom. He's a great fella. He's helped us out tremendously here the past couple of months on WRA. So hit them up, and even if you need just a new logo, as we did here, that great green and gold look that we've got happening, that is thanks to Tom and Wrestle Merch as well. Again, that's Wrestle Merch Printing, great supporters of this show and Australian wrestling in general. Let's get into it.
This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Brian Alvarez, and you are listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
This is the voice of explosive pro wrestling, Mean Dean Olsen.
Hey, this is the king of the mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Robbie Eagles.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is 5 times the world heavyweight champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Ryan Adam Pearce, and you are locked in to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Hey, this is Kellyanne English.
Here's where the action is. Here's where the action is.
Okay, this time I actually hit the record button. It has been a while. Welcome to the show, folks. My name is Josh Sharma. This is Wrestle Radio Australia, presented by FNX.network and the good folk at Wrestle Merch Printing and Thomas Green Design and Illustration. You can hear more about what Thomas is doing later on in the show. And big thank you to Tom and Thomas for helping us get the shows to you this month. Now today, the main reason that we're here, I guess, is to hear a chat that Todd Eastman had with Josh, the Axe Shooter. The Axe was around there in 2013, really sort of starting to come into his own, and you could see the change, you know, and not just his physique and his work, but, you know, just the fact that he was really trying to get himself out there to more places, to more feds around the world, and he's still doing that. He's over in the UK at the moment, working for IPW and Progress and a heap of other promotions, just really getting himself out there, you know, getting the experience from different trainers, Jimmy Havoc, you know, folks like that. So really cool stuff for the Axe. And if you follow us on social media, you would have seen during the week or last week that the Axe is actually going to be starting his own podcast right here on the WRA feed. So I know what you're thinking. Hang on, Josh usually goes on about all these wrestlers starting their own shows, and you know, not everybody should have their own podcast. The Axe is top value, and I can't wait to put out episode one. I mean, it's really cool that, you know, someone like Josh, and also another person that we're in talks with, we just got to work out the tech side of things there, that, you know, with some of the people that they know in the industry around the world, they can really get some insightful content, interviews, and also, I guess, that take on, you know, what it's like for somebody from overseas coming into their territory and working and bringing a different style, and just life on the road, really, I think is what it's really going to be about. So I have heard the first recording that Josh did, and just, I guess, tech-wise, sound-wise, Toddy, shut up, I know I'm an audio nerd, but, you know, I just thought, yeah, we'll work on the mic situation, and then we'll release episode one. So we've got some content there, might be a bonus episode down the track, but, yep. Good times there with the Axe. He's going to be He's going to be starting his own show here, and I guess it's kind of an MLW radio, but with an Aussie vibe is what I'm going for here with the feed, because, you know, it's cool that, yep, I can bring the interviews and Toddy and the Wolf Dog, Sean, they can do their WWE stuff once a month. That's going to be awesome, but just to really sort of freshen it up and get what everybody's doing down here to more people. That's what it's all about with WRA, as you are well aware if you've been around. So yeah, good times coming up here at Wrestle Radio Australia. And before we head off into a little break ski here for FNX.network, just want to say big thanks to the response that we've had over at Butts in Seats podcast, myself and Frank Harris, for the first part of the Slamboree 98 review. Part two is coming. Part two is coming. Don't worry. Hold on tight. Yeah, life just got in the way the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, what can you do? But, yep, good times there. Butts in Seats, the WCW podcast. Check it out if you like the retro reviews. All right, a quick word here from our mates at FNX.network. And then Todd Eastman and Josh the Axe Shooter back in 2013, this one, but it's a beauty. Hang around. Check it out.
This is Jake Johnston with the world's almost finest podcast, reminding you that if you love listening to discussions around movies, TV, video games, comic books, and all kinds of other awesome stuff, then head on over to fnx.network and click on the world's almost finest. Give us a shout out, let us know what you think, listen to our episodes, we got plenty on there to go through. The world's almost finest podcast, a proud member of the FNX Network.
I'm joined here now by a good mate of mine, Josh the Axe Shooter. How you going, mate?
Good, man. What's going on, Todd?
Not too much, buddy. Just glad to be talking to you.
It's been a long time.
That's right, yeah. I can't wait to see you again. First question, man. What first attracted you to pro wrestling? What got you into it?
The hype around it, as in walking out, the reaction, the big moments when someone would hit a big move and all the photos would flash in the background of when The Rock would hit the rock bottom, and the cool aurora that goes around professional wrestling and the entertainment factor of it. I love all the glitz and glamour and the smoke and mirrors. It's amazing.
And how did you find a place to start training? Like, because I know for me, I wouldn't have had a clue how to find it.
But what happened is I went down to a local Mimpa around the corner from mine, and I seen a poster for pro wrestling, and me thinking it was WWE, I went down there a couple hours early with $50 willing to get like one of the nosebleed seats, not realising it was Aussie wrestling. And then as soon as I got there, they're still setting up the ring, so I walked in, I gave them a hand, and then I started training from there on. They asked if I was 16. Of course I wasn't, I was 15 at the time, but I still said yes. They found out later, and then Mike Manson and Mike Burr beat the shit out of me for it.
So who actually did train you? Was it Manson and Burr?
Yeah, Mike Manson and Mike Burr. And I'm now alliance up with Hardway Inc., which has Mike Burr and Jay Andrews, which are two of the top wrestlers in Australia, in my opinion, anyway. So I couldn't have it better at this time.
Yeah. Tell us more about Hardway Inc. Like, how are you actually involved with them? Are you just sort of like a group, or is it a...
It will be a stable, and it will be an Australian-wide thing, as we will be trying to spread our name around. We will be trying to go state to state, trying to prove that we are the standouts on the show and everything else, and we stand for there is only one way, the Hard Way Inc.
So it's sort of like a TDMK sort of thing? TMDK, sorry?
Along those lines, something like that, but let's just see how it goes for now.
Yep, beautiful. How did you get the name The Axe?
Well, it was a wardrobe dysfunction when I had my first dark match for MCW, just before I was on my way to Adelaide to wrestle for some really terrible promotion at the time, not RZW, but those that shall not be named. And I had short shorts on, and it was really thin. And then as I was laying there after the match was done, it rode up me and gave me a wedgie, and it looked like I was excited to be there, per se. But from there on out, I got the name The Axe, due to Marky J.
So nothing to do with the way you hit or anything, it's just completely wardrobe related.
It's it's penis related, but if a fan asks, I tell them it's because I punch people really hard. And 9 times out of 10, I probably do.
One of the things I really do like about you is that you're always looking to, like, improve your game. Like, before guys like Marcus Pitt and Elliot Sexton trained at Booker T, you actually went over there and did it yourself. So can you tell us about that experience?
Honestly, in my opinion, I would have rather go back now when I have the full grasp on things, because when I went to Booker's, I learned a hell of a lot about psychology and everything else, and ring conditioning and how to walk in the ring and how to have a presence, how to have my shoulders sitting, how to sell, where to look at the time, where to point my chin, all the little bits and pieces I wouldn't have picked up. But the best training I've ever had so far, and I will account David Storm to it, was in EPW Perth, where I went over there for 5 weeks last year to train for. But Booker T's was worth it. They had a full gym facility. They had personal trainers on hand, which would help you out. All the guys were friendly. Everybody set up the ring. There was no superstars there. And Booker was there 3 nights a week. So you have to have one-on-one time with him, where if you ever had a question, hey, Booker, what do you do in this situation? What do you do if a tag team wants to do this and this? He would be happy to answer them. So he wasn't a dick about it, and he was always willing to help people. That was the main thing.
Yeah, so how long were you in the business before you actually went over there to train?
I've maybe been wrestling for a year and a half, but a few mates of mine decided, yeah, we're going to go overseas. Who else wants to come? And I decided, you know what, stuff it, I'm going to go as well. I probably should have waited a bit more, to be honest, but I don't regret it, and I learnt a lot.
So did you have like a slight mark-out moment when you first saw Booker, or was it...
I wasn't a heavy fanboy for him, so I didn't really have a fan. I didn't really have a mark out moment. But when I went to Japan recently, I got to tag against Sekimoto. And Sekimoto, I like his thick look, and I like his powerhouse style and the strong style he presents in the ring. And so just tagging against him was just randomly chosen on the day, and that was a really big thing for me, without being one of those Australian guys that pay for a person to come down to wrestle them.
Aside from trying to eat all of the ice cream in Japan, you actually trained at Big Japan Wrestling. Can you tell us how different that was, and how much do you think it has helped your career?
It would rotate between either cleaning the dojo, which would be like cleaning the glass off the apron, washing down all the walls, cleaning all the weights, doing everyone's washing and hanging up on the ropes to dry, or the next day it would be training early in the morning. Or we would have a primary school show where we'd go to a primary school and we would put on a show, or we would actually do a show. But every night we would either do weights or we would relax and we would chill there. But it was just really humid, it was sticky. Being alone, not be able to speak a full English conversation to people really surprised me for a bit. I didn't realise how bad it was. But everyone was friendly, and I learned just to endure and not to give up yet. And they tried to break and destroy everyone with fitness, but one of the young boys there, we had to shoulder tackle him, and everyone was shoulder tackling him for 5 minutes, and they got stiffer and stiffer, and it was my turn to go up and shoulder tackle him, and I gave him one light, and then he gave me one hard back, and he wouldn't accept it unless it was really stiff, so he wanted to earn everyone's respect by getting beaten up. So it was really cool to have a look at things like that.
Yeah, it's sort of like they're out there to prove themselves. They don't want to take anything sort of for granted.
Exactly, like they are in it and they will do anything to stay in the business. As in, if you put most people in the ring today and you have to beat them up, and if you want to be a wrestler, you need to get beaten up for 20 minutes a day for the next 2 years, most people will leave on the spot.
You showed me a match that you had over there with, I think it was you and Kawakama. I'm really terrible at it. Against Madoka and Ishikawa. How was that, especially with, like you said, the language barrier you had to cross? I mean, it'd be hard enough just with one guy you're facing, let alone having the three to sort of communicate between. How hard was that?
The match was pretty simple, and Ishikawa lived in England for a couple of years wrestling over there as a full-time job, and he spoke pretty good English, so he was my best friend the whole time anyway. Me hanging around him, asking him to translate this, translate that. And he was part of a tag team, Heavy Metal, and they showed me some of their tag team matches before, and all their stuff seems pretty simple, as in the same moves every match and the same style of psychology. And it was really good, and I learned a lot from doing so many tags over there.
So was that primarily what you did? You primarily did tag matches, or was it a nice mix of both?
I primarily did tag matches, which really helped as well, because I have an interest in tags, so it really appealed to my interest.
Nah, see, that's what you and I have in common. I love tag team matches. Other matches you had in Japan, which ones were your favourites? Obviously, the one you mentioned before, but was there any others that really stood out and you thought, yeah, this is the best of, you know what I mean?
The last match I had was at a open arena theatre where it was on a concrete plate, and then it had a theatre platform where there was about 800 people there. And I, myself and Kawakami tagged up against the BJW Tag Team Champs, and we had a really good match. And it went over well, and everyone loved it, and it was the semi-main of the show, and I couldn't be happier with it. Plus, they were nice, and as I was leaving, they gave me a birthday present. They all said farewell, everything else. So they're really, really nice people.
Ah, that's awesome. Back in Australia, you've just won the UPW Championship. That's a new promotion, though, and can you tell us about it?
All it really is PWAEQ that's reformed with everybody with new attitudes that are seeking to improve. As long as everybody keeps training and everyone's put forward and they take on board any criticism, I can't see why it won't be successful. But the first show is always an up and down, and no one knows how it can go from there. So the first show was successful in their eyes, but if the next show draws half the people, it will be going down from there. But if they run with the momentum and decide to do more flyers, more posters and advertising, they might actually get more people there.
Yeah, it's a bit of a compliment for them to relaunch their show and have you as their champion for their first match, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, it's good. What other promotions have you worked for in Australia, or should I say, what ones haven't you? Because you've pretty much been everywhere, haven't you?
I at least try and do one of each, but I haven't done Tasmania yet, but I'm going to see how their first show goes and consider going over there. I've done one EPW show a while ago when I tagged up with Warship, but I'm looking to head over there soon. RCW, where I love the crew over there, especially Maddie for letting me stay at his house all the time, and he's a really cool guy, demons and that. Can't say much else. I don't do any New Age Wrestling in Melbourne anymore. Not due to personal reasons or anything, just that MCW will come first and I'll have to put their preferences there. Yeah, man.
Your favourites are sort of your MCWs and your RCWs?
Yeah, they're my two anyway, because it's easier for me in Melbourne to jump between Adelaide and Melbourne anyway.
Yeah. What in your opinion, because you've been around for a little while now, what in your opinion makes a good promotion?
The vibe backstage is an important thing as well. As long as everyone can get along with everyone, everyone can have a joke, there's no superstars. People are getting paid, it's all equal. No one's a superstar and gets paid more than the other person. Everybody puts up the ring at the same time. Unity is key. And Lobo told me that, and RCW apply that, and they've been going strong for a while now.
Awesome. Now, some people might know this, but like, people have bucket lists of things that they want to do before they die. You have one for guys that you want to work or that you want to wrestle. Can you tell us about that and who's the one dream guy that you want to work?
There is no one dream guy I want to work, but I try and get around and I really want to work with the top guys in Australia. I've wrestled Ryan Rollins, which was one of the people that got me into wrestling in the first place, and we had a great match. Unfortunately, we were both in masks both times we wrestled, but it still pulled off great, and we had amazing chemistry together when we were in the ring. But there are just the top guys in Australia I want to wrestle before they retire or before they leave or get broken and in more than they already are. I'll try and go around and just wrestle them to see how I go and have the best match I can. And I believe as they are the more experienced guys, they can bring me up to their level. And I'm just striving to improve at the end of the day.
Awesome. Now, going from people you want to work to the ones that you have, which ones are your favourites?
I had a match with Mickey Jackson at NAW about 3 years ago. He's on my list of people I want to have another match with. Ryan Rollins anytime. Grimm has just such an presence when he's in the ring, and it's such a brutal heavy metal demon-like character. I don't know how to describe him. I want to have another one with him. Mimic is on the list of people I want to wrestle. I wrestled Ryan Eagles once, but that was in a terrible show in front of maybe 40 people at best, where no one really cared about wrestling. So I'd really like to have another match with him in front of people that did care about wrestling.
Yeah. What does the future hold for the Axe? I mean, where do you see yourself going? Do you want to just stay in Australia, or are you looking to go over to Japan again, or are you looking to maybe crack the American market?
I'm hoping to make a living out of professional wrestling one day, but I don't think I'm at that level yet. So I will probably head over to Japan by mid next year at the very latest, come back and then try and improve my game once again, even if I have to move over to Perth for 3 months and train over there, or Adelaide or Sydney or wherever's needed. Once I improve my game, I'd like to head over to the States 3 or 4 times to try and get that tryout and try and see how we'll go from there. Just like how Sexton went over a couple times and he got the tryout, and he doesn't feel like he's willing to make a professional living over there, and he's going to stick to Australia for now, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try the same approach.
Oh, have you thought about, like, say, training at Lance Storm's Academy, like a lot of others have done?
I've heard about it and everything else, but I'd rather stick to America, as I've heard it's really good on cleaning up your basics and everything else, but I've got no interest in going to Lance's. No offense to anyone that's been to Lance Storm, as I can see the improvement in Ryan Rollins, Nikita Noridian, Carlo Cannon, and many others. And Mike Peterson, the current NCW champion, is headed over there today.
Who do you see as the next Aussie to break that international market? To get like a contract with a NOAH or a WWE developmental or something like that, that really stands out to you, that you say he should already be over there?
No one really comes to mind when you say that, but I hope the best for Adam Brooks, because he is the most humble guy I know that can joke around with everybody, not have any heat with anybody. And if someone does have heat with Adam Brooks, it's only because they're a dickhead and they don't know any better. Adam Brooks has a character. He has the facial expressions. He has the look to him. His moves are clean and everything else, and I cannot say enough good things about the guy.
Yeah, no, I am a big fan of the way Adam Brooks works. Before we go, do you have any plugs or upcoming shows or anything you want to get over? Like, how can fans get in contact with you, stuff like that?
Fans can buy my t-shirts or my promo photos or my wristbands or whatever can support my eating habits. And I have a terrible eating habit.
That you
not
do.
Junk, but I like steak a lot. And so I'm terrible with remembering dates as well. So I've got MCW coming up, and you can search them on Facebook at Melbourne City Wrestling, buy my stuff and support my eating habit.
Also on Facebook is just Josh Shooter.
Yeah, just search Josh Shooter.
Josh Shooter, there you go. Thank you so very much for talking to us, mate. I can't wait to see you over here in Adelaide again.
All right, I'll see you around, bro.
Yeah, and I'll definitely hit Josh up to get you some Subway.
All right, thanks, buddy.
Steak and cheese?
Yeah, steak and cheese.
Beautiful. All right, thanks, mate.
Great stuff there. A throwback from 2013. Todd Eastman and The Axe. More of The Axe coming up on the WRA feed very, very soon. Awesome stuff that we're going to be tuning out in the coming months and hopefully into 2016. Some of the plans that we've got, hopefully they will keep going into the future. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there. If you run a small business or an organization, if you've got a band that needs merch or an album cover, even if you just need some creative flair for your individual project, Thomas Green Design and Illustration offers quality graphic design and illustration solutions to match your needs. From business branding, annual reports, websites, t-shirts, and even commissioned artworks, Tom is ready to wrestle your graphic design needs. Check out his website at www.tgreendesigns.com.au, on Facebook at T Green Designs, or shoot him an email, tgreendesign@hotmail.com. Tom is a wrestling fan, so folks, he's one of us. Look after him. And also, mention that you heard all about T Green Designs on Wrestle Radio Australia, and you will get 10% off of the work that you need done. So awesome deal there. Tom's a great bloke. Hit him up. That is Tom Green Design and Illustration. And thank you, mate, for helping us out getting the shows to the listeners. Now, it was a pretty full-on couple of weeks, which is why I haven't been behind the mic. I did my knee, so there's that. And then had a couple of the kittens. Well, no, they're not kittens. They've been with us for a long time, but you still see them as kittens, you know, when they're so lively. And then all of a sudden, one of them was cooked for a while. She passed away, and then 2 weeks later, just a couple of days ago, we lost Pumpkin, and that sucked. That really sucked. So yeah, that's pretty much why I haven't been around. Just life's been a bit of a hell ride personally, and I thought, okay, we'll just give it some time because, yeah, if we can't churn out something decent, then we don't really want to, you know, bother. So that's the way it is, folks. Anyway, let's rock and roll on out of here. Big thank you to Thunderstag for our awesome theme song, Wrestle Merch Printing, Tom Green Design and Illustration, FNX.network. Hit us up on Twitter at WrestleRadioAU and WrestleRadio Australia on Facebook. My name's Josh Sharma. This has been Wrestle Radio Australia, and we will catch you next week with Jesse Daniels. The interview is finally happening, folks. B-b-b-b-b-b-b. See ya. Peace.
Sinners, lovers and losers, compete and run wild with the hounds of hell. Brothers and sisters, show no mercy, kiss your sons and your daughters goodbye. Been there, done that, heard it all before, chewed up and spit out, we won't take no more. If you wanna live, you're gonna have to fight. Every day's a Friday, every night's a Saturday night.
Todd Eastman, and every fortnight the Big Ballers and I bring you the Big Ballers podcast, where we talk NBA news, trades, and anything else related to basketball. We're insightful.
Lance Stephenson, he's going to be an all-star this season.
Serious.
I've got a certain spot to fill, but Miller usually fills it with the D.
Sounds pretty fluent to me.
Nah, that's been edited.
Professional.
Harrison Barnes. Dude, follow me again. You don't need to unfollow me. I'm sorry for whatever I did.
And most of all, welcoming to new fans.
anyone that is not a basketball fan that is all of a sudden a basketball fan looking for a team, this is what I say to you. We don't want you.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, FNX.network, or anywhere you can listen to podcasts. That's the Big Ballers Podcast. Like sitting next to a bunch of guys in the pub who think they know about ball.